Hey everybody, this is Vince, and I'm here with my buddy Kurt, and we are here again to share the word of God with you and talk about some of those wonderful things that, well, we just wish that someone would have pulled us aside and talked to us about early on when we started in ministry. So, Kurt, how are things today? What are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we are going to talk about integrity events, and I am so excited about this topic because to me it's very dear to my heart. I'm a very justice-oriented person. The funny thing is when I married my wife, I married a woman who is also very justice-oriented. So we both have this ethos in our life to where things need to be done right. They need to be done correctly and in order. And as part of that, you have to do things in a spirit of integrity, because if you don't, then you're going to have an issue long term, right? Funny enough, the company that now, what I mean, I know you kind of looked at me a little funny there, and I know people that are listening, they can't see us, but you know, the thing is long term, integrity becomes an issue because when you don't do what's right when it's not seen, it eventually comes out in the open. And what I was going to get to is that even the company that I'm currently with, one of their values and beliefs is integrity, doing what's right when others don't see.
Well, it
So,
seems like a big word in a lot of companies. They have that word, but they don't always follow that word.
you're right. It's not always something that's practiced, but I know that it is something that's a big deal at our company, and we actually talk about it regularly in our meetings. So, and it's something that we can call each other out on. But as part of that, it goes right back to, let's just say, what does it mean to be a person of integrity, right? Why don't you read one of your definitions? I know you've got a bunch of definitions that you've pulled up, because then I'll get, go ahead.
That because you know, to some people, integrity can be a cuss word. You know, saying that I don't have integrity, or you, why you got to act like somebody with integrity? So I was like, I don't know if you're being mean to me or you're trying to, you know, goad me or something. So I went looking it up. One of the definitions I saw was it's the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, and the state of being whole and undivided. So I was like, well, surely there's got to be something more to it than that. So I went ahead and looked up where the smart people went way back in the day. I looked up the Cambridge Dictionary.
Uh-oh.
They put it like this. It says the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principles that you refuse to change someone's high artistic standards or standards of doing their job, like at your company, and that person's determination not to lower those standards. It is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. I like the part where it said, a person's determination not to lower your standards. So it's not like this evil, horrible word. It's really just about standing on what is right. I mean, of course, we're in an age where a lot of people don't have a full set of moral principles because they have taken their own what they feel and see, or the age of well, speak my truth and just do what feels right.
Well, let's take it this a step further. I'll give you an example. I'm on a work trip, and I buy lunch for myself, coworker, and a customer, right? And we're going to expense this thing. Now, there's certain things that can't be expensed out because of company policy. Well, the guy that's with me, he's like, "Hey, well, let's just don't turn the receipt in. They'll never know, or let's turn a receipt in that doesn't have the itemized list on it. They'll never know what we're expensing." I'm like, "No, we can't do that." You know, because as a person of integrity, we have to do what we're saying we're going to do. It has nothing to do with what people see or what we can get away with. It has everything to do with when I say I will do what's right, I will do what's right in spite of what you know. So it's even to the point to where, if you loan me your car and I And I'm like, okay, Vince, I won't take it out of Dallas. You're like, yeah, don't take it out of Dallas and definitely don't take it down to Oak Cliff and to XYZ Street because that's a really bad part of town. I'm like, dude, I won't do it. And I know in the back of my mind, I've got a buddy in the middle of that area that you asked me not to go into that I'm going to go visit him because that's why I want to borrow your car. I'm like, oh, Vince is never going to know. He's never going to know. He ain't got no low jack on this thing. He's not got one of those old tiles or Apple discs on his, car to track me. So if I go behind your back, even if I know you have no way to track me, and I take your car into this area that I've already told you I wouldn't, am I being a person of moral character and integrity?
No. Hey, by the way, I just want you to know I live in Oak Cliff, so
I know you do.
I'm back that statement up now.
Hey, but there are certain parts of Oak Cliff that you know just like I do that are a whole lot worse than others.
Oak Cliff is one of those parts of the city that is undergoing some kind of change or something like that. I forget the word that they use, but they're bringing,
Revitalization.
yeah, that's it. That's what they call it.
No, but when you and I both used to live there, it was really rough. And when I used to work with my previous employer, that was one of my primary areas that I had to cover. And I remember there was areas that the people that would run the businesses that I would go in to work on some of their equipment, they would tell me, hey, don't leave your tools out. You need to watch your back in this area, And these people, they were from the area, they knew, so they were like, hey, you need to be very careful. In spite of that, the reality is integrity is something that's under attack in our current culture today. I would even
Absolutely.
go as far as saying that the media as a whole lacks integrity with the way they report the news. Why do I say that? Because the reality is, when you're willing to stretch the truth or tell a lie just to get views because it's sensationalism, then, you have completely deceived and pulled the hood over people simply for money or for numbers, which is not morally right.
Right. Now, if you're guided by something that's only meant to benefit you and only you, I personally would venture to say that is not integrity. As a matter of fact, in a different version, I think it's Webster's Dictionary says that part of the definition for integrity is incorruptibility, meaning not being corruptible.
That's
So
right.
where if your goal is just to have money and power and fame and influence, and you'll do literally anything to get it, then you don't have integrity because you're being corrupted by the very things that you're seeking for. Now, any one of those things individually may not necessarily be bad. Honestly, to me, each thing that I named is no different than any other tool that you could put in a tool belt. They can all be used a good way or a bad way. But if you
Yep.
start chasing after those things and you're willing to compromise and do anything for those, I mean, at the expense of, so to speak, selling your soul, which we that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek saying that a lot of people use in society. Oh, they sold their soul to get that. Well, I mean, probably not too far off. If you're willing to compromise the basic principles of who you are, those moral principles that keep you being a productive, decent, and honest member of society, then pretty much you have.
Hey,
So.
Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So it's not the man who walks his life and gets prosperous no matter what he does. It says that his children are blessed because he walked in his integrity. And I think that's because, if you think about it, a lot of people say, I'll do whatever it takes to get rich so my family's taken care of. Well, we learn because of Solomon that he tells us that if you grow rich quickly, it's going to grow wings and fly away. And the moral ground behind that is if you don't go through the hard knocks to get the money, that you're not going to have the fortitude to know what it takes to retain it. And in the same way, If you don't know what it takes to retain it, then you're not going to be blessed. So if you are not a man of integrity, you most likely did things that were not right to acquire what you have. And by doing so, you made shortcuts. You didn't take the right path. You didn't take that path that taught you the lesson so that you're not going to make the mistake a second time and possibly lose everything that you have.
I was looking at that one that you had mentioned, Proverbs 27, verse 7. So I was looking at it in a couple different versions while you were talking, and it actually goes in Amplified. It goes a little got they have those little extra things in there,
Oh, yeah.
and it says when it talks about the well, I'll just read the whole thing. It says the righteous man, because it doesn't hurt to read a scripture all over again, does it? The righteous man who walks in integrity and lives in accord with his godly beliefs or beliefs, how blessed, happy, and spiritually secure are his children after him who have his example to follow. So what they're to me, what it talks about there, what you had mentioned, and what it's even more pronounced and amplified is legacy. What kind of
Oh, yeah.
legacy are you leaving for your children? They say that those that you lead, whatever you do wrong, they'll do it to a higher degree. The example was, I remember when I first started working, gosh, it was 20 something years ago. I'm not going to give the exact number right now because I don't want to talk about how old I am at the moment. So anyway, I was told that how if you're a manager somewhere, and the basic dress code is like say polo shirt and a dress shirt and all of that. I mean, or a button-down shirt and slacks. If you are barely coming in underneath what you need to qualify to be okay without getting written up, the people that work under you will push that limit further. Whereas if you come in up and over that mark, and I used to see it a lot when I worked at the bank for a while. The managers would come in dressed like full suits. Some of them, double-breasted, and they're just, I mean, they looked sharp,
Absolutely.
really sharp. So even the least well-dressed person was still above the mark because of where the manager took it. Now, if the manager was bringing it down, then the people would dress down even more so. And that's not to say that anything wrong with that. That just seems to be the nature of how things go. Whatever standard you set, those that follow you will follow it to a lower degree. Or if you are hating on it or hitting on it, especially as leaders, if we're not showing integrity, then it's not going to be adhered to by our congregation or by our leaders under us.
Right. Definitely. One of the things I think that we have to remember is the moral ethos that we give our children and those that work with us will be the thing that sets the standard for what's to come. And the problem is, I mean, if you look back at the original definition that you were reading earlier, it talks about moral uprightness and one of those definitions there is honorableness. Well, like you said, many people don't even understand what morality is in this world that we live in today. They have no moral compass to speak of. They talk about a moral compass, but they really talk about the compass of self. And compass of self is not going to lead you to salvation. Compass of self is not going to help you obtain inner peace. Compass of self is not going to help you be honorable, because self is all about, guess what? Numero uno, right? The number one, yourself. And so if it's only about you and you never consider someone else, you're not going to consider God, you're not going to consider the fact that, there is someone else that's greater that has already written a plan for each of our lives, and we need to do our best to align our life with that plan so that we can live in a way that brings a benefit to the rest of society. Then we're going to be set up for failure, not just for ourselves, but for the generation to come. And I think that leads me straight to the next scripture, Proverbs 11:3, that I've got. It says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. You
Yeah,
know,
the one that had crookedness. So I like perversity too.
Yep. Now, which version was that one?
This one might have been, it's either Amplified or New American Standard. I don't remember. So I forgot to put the which one it was next to it.
Now, I want to ask you a question, Vince. I know you're at a Bible school, you're teaching young people, and there's a whole plethora of unique challenges that come with that. So, with your day-to-day experience, what do you see as a teacher at an institute of learning with young people coming in with the moral collapse that we've already had when it comes to integrity? Are you noticing that there's a lesser value on what it means to be a man or a woman of integrity? Or
Honestly,
let me rephrase that for a second. Not may, maybe not just a lesser value, but maybe a misunderstanding of what it really means.
I'd probably venture to go more with the word misunderstanding. And honestly, what I see more than anything is probably hunger. They're looking for people who are people of their word. If they say, do this, then those people are going to do this. If they're saying, you know, this is what the word tells you to do and how to act, or these are the things that I've been through, that you're just honest and you're vulnerable. Like it says, integrity has to do with honesty and being honest. And in my classes, I've tried my best to be as honest as I possibly can and as vulnerable as I can and say, look, I'm not perfect. I screw up every day. I make mistakes every single day. Matter of fact, you know, I was doing really, really good this morning. Oh my gosh. Didn't make a single stinking mistake. And then I got out of bed.
Uh-oh.
Got out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and sometime after that, I made a mistake. I screwed something up. So, I mean, and not that it's these like royal screw-ups in life, but you know, you're always going to make a mistake. And it doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite if you say one thing, but then you have a moment of weakness and you do something else. That's different than telling people one thing and purposely doing another thing. That would be like saying, Kirk, I expect you to pay your tithes and I don't. But if I'm saying, Kirk, you know, you should pay your tithes, and I forgot this one week that we were paying tithes, it doesn't make you a hypocrite because you forgot or you were busy or whatever. What makes you a hypocrite is the motive. It's all motive. So I'm gonna challenge you with another one. You've
Now
given
come
the
on.
First two scriptures. I'll give you next one. Job 8:20 says, "Behold, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he strengthen or support evildoers." Went all the way back to Job on you.
Come on, you know. Job is such an interesting character. I mean, some scholars believe that he's actually not even an Israelite, that he's actually from Ishmael. So it's interesting that even the inheritance of Abraham is laid out from both sides in the gospel, you know. And Job, as we know, was a man of intense character, of integrity, to the point to where Satan felt like he had to challenge God with almost like a gauntlet. And he wanted to do everything up to taking Job's life. And that was the only restriction God didn't put on him. And we see that throughout his entire, you know, hell on earth, you know, through all his suffering, through all the pain and despair, losing all of his children, losing all of his wealth, he never cursed God. And even when his wife, the one that should be supporting him, says, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" You know, I mean, I think because, you know, the word talks about how a good woman is a benefit, but a woman that's not a good woman is like a drip, right? Like she's like a dripping roof, and I think that's why in this situation, I don't know that even his wife had that in her own character. It could have even been a moment like Peter had,
Moment.
you know, whenever Satan was whispering in Peter's ear and Jesus looked at Peter and said, I rebuke you, Satan, because he recognized that Satan was talking through Peter. So it could have
Right.
even been that moment there where the devil was using Job's wife. She could have been a wonderful, you know, Proverbs wife. But at the same time, like you said, she may have had a moment of weakness and she stepped out of order and it's like, dude, you just need to curse God and die. I've never seen anyone suffer like you. I mean, what did, I mean, she might have even gotten to the point where she was judging her husband's character because of what he was suffering because of the lack of knowledge of the why. But the reality is in everything, he never would question anything. The only thing he ever faulted on was he just said, Lord, why don't you just kill me? It would have been better if I wasn't born. I'm suffering so bad. And that's when the Lord called him out. So Job, he is the pillar of integrity. He would not sway, no matter what it was, with his friends and not even with his wife, when it came to what needed to be done to stand in good moral character. He would not default. He would not be dishonorable. He would not do what was wrong, even when others would not see.
No, I agree. It's interesting that if you look at it like that, we all have our moments of weakness. We all have our moments where we make mistakes
Absolutely.
and we screw up. I was reading with my son and doing his Bible stuff for school. It's one of his classes, and we were talking about Abraham and the fact that a couple times Abraham actually, instead of saying, "Hey, this is my wife," he said, "Hey, this is my sister," because he was afraid of being killed. Now,
Dude, I mean, I know.
did that make Abraham a horrible person for the rest of his life? No. Did he really bite it on that one and totally royally screw up? Yes. Yes, he did,
That's
because he
right.
didn't trust that God would protect him in that sense. He got scared. We do things sometimes when we're scared. We do things when we're frustrated or angry. And that's okay that stuff happens. Look, it's not about if you make a mistake. It's about walking a certain way, carrying a certain standard in your life. And if you make that mistake, you realize it's a mistake because you hold a standard. I know we don't have too much time. I'm read one more thing, and then I have one thing to say when we close the show for sure. But I was looking at in James, our good buddy James, which is like the Proverbs of the New Testament, right? In chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "But above all, my fellow believers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be a truthful yes and your no be a truthful no, so that you may not fall under judgment." So it's, I mean, Matthew even says it. Don't make a false vow. If you're going to make a vow, keep the vow. I think it's chapter 5 or something like that, that it says that in Matthew. But James is saying, if you say, "Yeah, I'm going to be there and do this," then do it. It's like the story of, I think it's a parable that Jesus told of the person who said, "It's better if you say," than the person that says, "Hey, can you," or say, "You can come help me do this." And they're like, yeah, I'll be there." But they don't show up. But then you ask somebody else and say, "Hey, can you help me do this?" And they say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay home and chill." And then they show up. Which one is better?
The one that shows up, man. I mean, you
Obviously.
can say that you're going to do it all day long, but if you don't do it, I mean, what
Right.
is it? You know, but the reality is our yes needs to be yes and our no needs to be no.
And then
However,
in
it
no
still's
good.
better to be the one that comes and does the work that you were told to do than to be the one that says, "Oh, I'll be there," and not show up.
There's some things that integrity allows you to have, though, like not just the fact that you get that moral compass about you, but also this in Psalm 26, you see it in verse 1 and in verse 11. And he says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have relied on and trusted, and where's it at? I have relied on and trusted confidently in the Lord with wavering, and I shall not slip." And then 11 says, "But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful and gracious to me." So integrity allows him to say, "Hey, I've walked the way you wanted me to. Come to my rescue in this time." And the Lord can say, "Okay, you have, so I will."
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we also can look back on, I think, is the life of David. King David was a man after God's own heart. Now, did he make mistakes? Absolutely. He was so human, he royally screwed up on several occasions. But the integrity part came in whenever the prophet would come in and call him out. And even though he was king and he could go do what he wanted, he would come in and say, "You know what? I repent. God, help make in me a clean heart." And I remember one time when he went to the wine press, and the man who owned the wine press says, "Dave, King, I give you everything. I give you these oxen. I give you this wine press. I give you the land so that you can give an offering to the Lord." And King David says, "No, I will not give to God what cost me nothing." Now, he could have, because he was a king. In reality, he could have said, "This is my property." And if he wanted to silence them, he could have thrown the man in jail, and then he could have lied about it and said, "Yeah, it cost me everything." Why? Because he's the king.
Right.
But he paid for the land. He paid for the wine press. He paid for the cattle so that he could sacrifice to the Lord. And he did what was right in the eyes of God. He went with the moral high ground. You know, and I think that's where we really have to not dance around this subject with those that are being raised up in this new generation, because too many of them want what's comfortable, what's easy. And most of the time, what's easy and comfortable is not going to be okay.
That's very true. You know, I remember listening to stories from those who came before us. And when I sat in Bible school as a student, and I remember listening to these guys who'd been in ministry for a really long time, and I was all excited. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, they've got these amazing stories, and look where they're at, and the stuff they've been through, and all the success they've had." And I had one who pulled me aside one day, and we're sitting and having a conversation, and he said this. He said, "It's all good and fine, but if you're going to ask to be like me and have what I have, you have to be willing to go through what I'm going through and what I've gone through."
Oh, I've heard that from ministers too, talking about people wanting their anointing, wanting what they have. But just like you said, the same response when they try to talk to people is they didn't want to go through the experience or the hell on earth that they went through to get the anointing they had.
Yeah. I mean, you can always cut corners. You can always get things quicker. And there's times where there are people that get things and you're like, "Wow, how'd they do that? And they did it in a hurry." But look, God's way is higher than ours, and it always runs the same. He's not going to shortcut anything. If you're going to be promoted to a place where you have influence over a lot of people or have resources that are plentiful, you've had to walk through stuff to be in that place. Testing has to happen.
That's right.
Right? So I will say this. We've been kind of toting this hard line, but I will say there are some people there. And let's give a little bit of a break to some of those people who are like, "I don't have enough integrity." So I believe that there, and me in conversations with my wife, we both believe that there are some people with naturally higher levels of integrity than others. Now, that's not saying that people are better. Some are better than others. It just seems to be a thing, like you said about being justice minded.
Yes.
And being.
Yes.
And I'll give you the great example of this. My wife and I, several years, like many, many years ago when we were first married, We walked out of Walmart one day. We had a case of water sitting underneath on the cart. Now, this was back when they actually had a human check you out, and it wasn't just machines, right? And we get to the car. I grab the water, and I'm like, man, we didn't pay. Did we pay for the water? And she looks at the receipt, and she said, no. And I was like, in my head, I'm going, I need to bring the water back in. We need to pay for the water right now. She's going, wow, that's a blessing from the Lord. Now, neither one of us were right or wrong in this instance. We were just, that was a natural reaction and thought that we had. For me, if I would have went home with that water, it would have eaten me alive.
Me too, without, dude. You and I are a lot alike.
I can't do that. My wife was like, it's the blessing. It's cool. So for people that, but there are other areas where my wife is way more intense on that level of integrity than I am. And I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. And she's like, no, it's this. So you might have a really high level of integrity in certain things and a lower level in others. And you're like, well, how is that possible?
Hey, let me take that to another level, brother. Let's think about it from a spiritual level now, right?
All right.
Okay. Integrity. We always think about it just from making decisions about day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example, movies. An area where my wife and I sometimes are very different. Now, there's areas where I may not see the issue with the movie, but she's like, no, I feel something on that. Something doesn't set right in my spirit. Now, the question is it because she's more sensitive, or is it because I'm more, you know, I've watched too many movies that might be a little bit too violent or something? Maybe I've become a little callous to that, right? Possibly. But the thing is there's a season where we have to recognize that maybe, like you said, there's areas where we need to be humble and we need to listen to somebody else and say, you know what? Maybe Vince is onto something. Maybe my spouse is onto something. Maybe my best friend is onto something.
Yep.
And, or maybe my teacher or my coworker is onto something. Maybe I'm the one that's out of line here and not them. I mean, there is always the chance that somebody might be going overboard. But there's always the chance to where we're nominalizing something that's really an issue. And really, if we want to make sure that we're led into the ways of righteousness and that our paths are set straight and that God's grace and mercy are going to be abundant and wrapping us up like a bow, that we position ourselves in that place to where we have no question. And I know we need to wrap this up, but I'm reminded of Billy Graham, a great man of God, and the way he would live his life to protect the ministry that God gave him was a man of integrity above reproach, to the point to where he would not even get into an elevator alone with a woman if it wasn't his wife. Why? Because he never wanted to allow the enemy to present an opportunity to destroy the work that God was doing for him, through him for the Lord. Well, when are we, as a body of Christ, going to allow ourselves to begin to make decisions that are uncomfortable, inconvenient, and above reproach for his purpose, not because it's convenient to us?
I'd go one further and say, and I think as leaders, if you're a leader in your local church or whatever you're doing for the Lord, I think that if one of your people comes to you because you're off on something and they present it to you, I personally think it's integrity to go back and look at what they're saying about you. And are they saying, or is what they're saying actually a true thing and something that you need to deal with and change? And at some point, after you make that examination and you talk to the Lord about it, maybe you need to apologize.
Hey, I agree. I mean, it's that way with our wife and kids too sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I've had to apologize so many times. I don't know if everybody's like me or not, but it was so hard. The first I remember the first time, the feeling associated with the very first time I went to my older children now, when they were younger, and I had to apologize to them because I missed it. I went overboard. I didn't handle the situation completely right. I remember it didn't want to come out. It was like stuck in my throat, saying, "I'm sorry." Two little words. I apologize, and this is why. I had it all planned out. Couldn't get those words out. Man, I felt like I was going to throw up. I would rather have thrown up. And that was just pride in the way. But the ability for me to say, "Hey, I'm sorry, Dad missed the mark," it's done amazing wonders in the life of my family and
There
in
you
their life.
go.
Even Dad misses it, so can I. So I'm going to close my end with this, and I know we're got to close up, but here it is. Many years ago, I was on leadership at a church. Pastor comes up to a bunch of us leaders and says something about me, which I won't go into detail about right now. But he says something about me that was untrue. But it was bad enough that I could have ended up in a lot of heat with other leaders and even possibly in fights with them. And one of the main guys in the leadership at that point looked at Pastor, looked at me, looked back at the past and looked back at me and said, "No, that's Vince would never say something like that or do something
There
like
you
that."
go.
And at that moment, the Lord spoke through me and I looked at him and I said, "Character speaks for itself. Who you are speaks louder through what you do and what you say around others and how you treat other people. It's beyond just that aspect of, oh, I say this, but I do many, many other things."
Amen. One my final closeout here, I think, is going to be the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the reason I want to say that is I believe that in our lives, everything that we do is drastically affected by how we honor and reverence God in our lives. The choices we make, the decisions to turn away from sin, the decisions to make just and moral decisions is all about how does this affect my relationship with God? Guys, Vince and I would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, please email us at info@mooseministries.org. If you also have a topic you'd like for us to discuss, please send us an email. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll study it up, or we may already have a plethora of information on it. And I know Vince probably does with his vast library that he has there. And so,
Seriously.
guys, you have a wonderful day.
Later.